Welcome back. Thanks for joining us again. And for those of you who are new, you are watching the Dora Wellness webinar. And tonight's topic is, we call it Financial Wellness, How to Shop Smart and Save Money During Challenging Times, because it really is a, you know, a very strange, strange time. Trey Bodge has actually been a friend of the Duar girls for many, many years. We go many years back, and I'm absolutely excited that Trey, you're joining us tonight. Trey is a lifestyle, a very well sought after lifestyle journalist, TV commentator, media coach, smart shopping expert, and has actually been called the top, one of the top personal finance experts in the country, and is a major voice in smart shopping and retail. So, you know, lots and lots of hats, lots of expertise there. So I think this is going to be really, really, really useful for a lot of people. Today's speaker is Trey Bodge, and the theme is financial wellness. And the reason you might be wondering, like, okay, Duar skincare, goop in a jar, it's skincare, right? Or maybe it's wellness, but wellness as the in the broader meaning really is includes all aspects of wellness. And if you think about it, if you're not doing well financially or you're stressed about your finances, chances are you're going to be stressed overall, and permeates all, you know, a lot of other.
Yeah, so I'm not surprised to hear that people are having a hard time saving right now. Obviously, when the pandemic hit, many, many people experienced job disruption, whether they were laid off or furloughed or underemployed. And so now that this is dragged on into the fourth month, some folks are back at work, some folks are on unemployment, others are worried that their unemployment might run out. Other folks have been paused from their jobs and they're hoping that they will resume. So it has been a very hard time for people to save money. And so I love to talk about shopping, but I'm not encouraging people to shop right now unless they have to. So my advice really is focus on those essentials and only those essentials. And we'll get to some tactics on how to save a little bit more money, you know, later in the conversation. But I would urge all of you, if you are struggling financially, just to lay off the stress shopping if you're indulging in that right now, because that is a temporary fix, and it may make you feel better. So right now for 5 minutes, but it's not going to be a long lasting good feeling, especially when you are struggling financially. So focus on those essentials first, maybe keep a list of the things that you'd like to treat yourself to down the road, and when things turn around, you can kind of get back to that. And also, people struggle right now with saving, and not saving right now has its own kind of emotional burden. And so I would suggest that if your financial situation has changed, dial back the expectations that you've set for yourself. So for instance, if you were saving $100 a month, maybe you can now save $10 a month. Be kind to yourself and stick to that new normal for now. You're doing something, and that's better than doing nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah, so another idea that I would like to offer is using, you know, what's called a spare change app or a Roundup app. Mine is, my favorite one is Acorns. It's something that you link to your debit card and credit card. And when you use those cards, it basically rounds up the spare change. So say if you spend 75 cents, it'll take 25 cents and just put it into a little investment account for you. So that's a very easy way to save in very small increments along the way. And you'd think that it's not doing much of anything, but it's actually doing something. And so you can do that and then maybe save your $10 a month. And as this goes, if your financial situation improves, you can start adding a little bit more to that pot every month and hopefully get back to that same place you potentially were before, where you were maybe saving $100 a month or whatever your budget allows. now. So really overall, my message here is be kind to yourself and make the necessary adjustments that you have to make in order to continue to save in some way, but lay off the gas pedal a little bit and don't put pressure on yourself right now because it is hard. So by doing that, maybe have a more positive response to saving rather than feeling pressured or that you're failing.
Yeah, I think that's really important, especially when you look at it from a wellness or well-being perspective, because frankly speaking, especially during these times, literally there are certain things that you just simply cannot control, right? And we're all in the same boat, in fact, worldwide. So I think it's really important to assess also what are the things that you can control and what are the things that you cannot control, you know, with regards to, you know, your goals of saving or the goals of, you know, reducing spending. I mean, you know, we can reduce spending, of course, but, you know, just we tend to be so hard on ourselves. Especially us women. So I think, yes, compassion with yourself is definitely important. But I was wondering, Trey, I mean, sometimes, you know, you do have to, you are looking at your finances, okay, I'm not going to put too much pressure on myself, but there are, I'm sure, you know, especially if you're unemployed or underemployed, which is, you know, you're literally, you can't make ends meet. Mm-hmm. Or you cannot budget for certain things, you know, that you really do have to, you know, down the, you know, in a couple of months, you know, if we're still in the situation, you have to budget for certain things. So, I mean, what is your advice if you do need to supplement your income in concrete or even small ways?
Yeah. So that's a great question. And there are a lot of ways that you can supplement. So first of all, there is technology, right? So here we are, we're talking on Zoom. And say if you're a fitness instructor and your gym is obviously closed, what you may have noticed is that people are pivoting. So you have to start thinking about your job potentially in a different way. So if you were going to the gym and teaching fitness classes, maybe you can use Zoom or another platform or like FaceTime or Skype to teach fitness classes to your students who you used to meet with at the gym. That's just maybe one way to kind of look at things like your regular job. How can it be transitioned into this virtual world? So that's one thing. And that applies to a lot of different things like teaching and then other things like graphic design and things like that. These are all things that can be done virtually. You may need to start building a client base. Ways to do that are to reach out to your neighborhood Google group or Yahoo group or Facebook group and let people know that you're available and start building that client base. That's another way to sort of create your own side hustle. If you were using other side hustles, for instance, like if you were driving Ubers, you can't do that as much anymore or at all in certain cities. So you have to find other ways to pivot. And so using the skills that you have in a different way can be very helpful and lucrative for people. There are also platforms that are helpful that you can look at, like Fiverr, for instance. It's Fiverr.com. That's a large freelancers marketplace. And so if you do things like web design, graphic design, search engine optimization, editing, illustration, songwriting, these are all things that other people may potentially be looking for. So you can, you know, post your abilities on a platform like that and sort of vie for jobs. That's maybe another way. And who knows, you could build a whole business out of doing this and perhaps you'll never go back to work again. You never know. So my sort of overarching advice here is to kind of step back and think about the things that you're good at, the things that you enjoy doing that are different and special, and how can you then apply those to what's happening now? For instance, I go on TV. That's a big part of what I do, but I typically travel around the country and go on TV. I can't do that now. So now I've become adept at doing it from home. And anyone can do that if you have a skill that can then be done virtually. So just think a little bit differently about what you're good at, and you might potentially be able to find a way to make a new living. Another thing you can do if you are unemployed or underemployed and you have some spare time, you can go through your home and look for things that you're not necessarily using anymore and sell them. There are a lot of platforms that will allow you to do that without having face-to-face interaction with people. eBay is a very good platform for this. You can list an item in under a minute, and you can do everything from collectibles like, you know, certain CDs or artworks or art books or clothing, sneakers, almost anything, old cell phones. There are lots of different things that you can sell, that you can earn some money with, and then perhaps, of course, then apply that money to the expenses that you have, your bills and things like that. So that's maybe another way. And I know, Yoshiko, you were interested in talking about like selling unusual things. I did a segment on Rachel Ray about how to sell toilet paper tubes and cartons and things like that. And that actually is something that you can do. There are platforms like Etsy, for instance, or Facebook Marketplace or Amazon Marketplace, where you can actually sell more unusual things like that. So if you're going through a lot of toilet paper, which I think we all are at home, you can those and sell them to crafters and artists who are looking for large batches of those things. So there are all sorts of kind of unusual things that you can sell in addition to the more typical collector's items and clothing. But there are lots of ways that you can sell items and make some extra money that way. And if you have some free time, why not?
You know, I wanted to touch on something, you know, that you said earlier about building your client base also, you know, because I was thinking we're all trying to be creative and kind of look around, whether it's selling unusual things, but also, you know, this, I was really surprised because, I mean, we hear, you know, a lot of the schools hear instructors for kids, you know, for their extracurricular activities, they're kind of just sitting there and like they can't do anything because their studios or their places have closed. And I was really, really surprised at how supportive people in the local community were to supporting the people, instructors, teachers, and people that kind of hit that block, you know, because of the pandemic, in supporting them specifically. So I felt like, you know, when you reach out to build your client base, to really emphasize that you are part of the community, and to appeal to people's desire to support people, you know, their local community.
Absolutely. And that's a great point. And we all want to help people nearby, right? And so if you are at home and you have skills that can be used in a virtual way, there's nothing wrong with saying, hey, I'm a teacher from the local middle school and I'm looking for work. You know, I'm happy to offer tutoring, you know, entertainment for your kids, virtual camps, what have you, and let people know that you're looking, because no one's going to know how to help you unless you tell them. And so it's okay to put the word out there. You're offering a service. Parents are sitting at home with their kids bouncing off the walls all day, and the parents are trying to work. So if there's something that you can offer to keep someone's kids busy and engaged and perhaps learning throughout the summer, that's a great service. And so that's something that you should absolutely pursue. If you obviously miss teaching, you can't do it in person right now necessarily, but you can do it virtually. And this is something that you could potentially be good at because, you know, like you said, Yoshiko, this could be going on for a long time. So it's important to think of like a long game. Obviously, at the beginning of the pandemic, we thought, oh, we'll be out of this in a month or two. And this is going to drag on for a while. So it might be time to think about this as a long-term solution to your situation right now.
And, you know, you touch on something that's really important that I think we tend to underestimate, which is the things that you're really good at. And you know, when we spoke about this, you mentioned something about tapping or discovering your own superpower in this. And you certainly, you know, through your career have really, you know, gone on this journey of discovering and honing, like really fine tuning your personal superpowers, you know, that were relevant for your career.
Yeah. And, you know, that's an interesting point. I mean, obviously, when we met, I was the co-owner of Three Custom Color Specialists, which is a beauty company. And, you know, as the owner of a company, I helped to run it for 15 years. And I kind of hit a wall professionally. I felt like, okay, I'm not growing. I'm not learning. I feel like I have a lot more in me. I don't know what that necessarily is, but let's find out. And so I ended up leaving. And I thought that I was going to go work for a large beauty corporation and be an executive. And as I interviewed, everyone I met just couldn't figure out what to do with me. You know, they were happy to meet with me. They respected what I had done in my previous life, but they didn't know where I would fit in their organization. And so that was important for me to listen to see what they were seeing. And then also start thinking about, okay, well, if I'm not going to go for that executive job at L'Oreal or Lauder, what am I going to do? What am I good at? What do I enjoy doing? And I just kind of rolled into freelance writing for a little while because I had been writing all of the copy from Three Custom Color. And so I had experience. And so I started writing and I put myself out there and I asked friends and I said, does anybody need any writing done? Do you need any editing done? Do you have a website that I can write for, a blog that I can write for? And just started kind of like, you know, getting my chops. And, you know, if you put that word out there, people can help you. And I think a lot of people hesitate to do that. It makes you feel less than, or you're, you know, if you're undervaluing yourself, but you're actually valuing yourself if you put the word out there and let people know that you need help. And, you know, friends were instrumental for me at the very beginning. And in fact, I had let people know that I was looking for work and a friend of a friend said to me, oh, you know, do you know RetailMeNot? It's a coupon site. They're looking for people to write for them. And I had already been doing a little kind of frugal living content and it was exactly what they wanted. And it ended up being a great freelance gig. It let me get my feet really wet in the writing space. And then it turned out that they were looking for a spokesperson. And so I auditioned for that role. And then I got my big job that I thought I was going to get, but it was completely different than I had imagined. So as you're making this pivot, if you are at this time, try to keep your mind open, listen to what other people are saying, listen to your heart and what you're passionate about, and let people help you. And if you do all those things together, that new house that you're putting together will actually come together. It really will. It just takes time and it takes patience, and you have to be good to yourself during that time because it's hard, right? But you will get there.
I think it's also really important what you mentioned, that throughout this process to have the long game in mind, you know, and focus on some really basic, human skills to build your network. And especially when it comes to, you know, opportunities that may not really fit the mold of what you were thinking, and you think, I'm just going to do this for a check right now. But to focus on every human connection, you know, that you make along the way that can potentially help you and really enrich your career as well.
I mean, your human connections are your currency, and you should be willing to help others. And if you are willing to help others, they will be willing to help you. And I have to say, I mean, the vast majority of the opportunities that have come my way have been through people I know and have been through people who I've worked with who want to work with me again. And so I think being good to others is very, very valuable. It's obviously the right thing to do, but it's also the good thing to do and the productive thing to do. So looking out for other people, recommending them to someone, if someone comes to you with something and it's not right for you, rather than saying, that's not right for me, thank you, say, that's not right for me, how about my friend, this person who can do this thing? And there is nothing cooler than doing that for someone else, whether there's a payoff for you or not. It should not even be in your mind, frankly, but doing good things for other people can eventually not only please you and please them and do something good for them, but it can come around. So you should just do that in general.
Yeah, I think that taps into the whole, you know, how that mindset really is connected to mental wellness as well. Mm-hmm. Because I think, you know, as we try to kind of find our way through this pandemic and the financial challenges, which are real and very concrete, mm-hmm. and you try to, you know, you try your best, you know, to navigate that, it's really, it can be an amazing opportunity to reimagine yourself, right? And it's almost like a mental wellness exercise and reimagining yourself and maybe also modifying or changing the way you have been, you know, approaching work, or, you know, how you work with other people.
Yeah, absolutely. And now, especially more than any other time, I feel like in our lifetimes, nothing is linear. So don't set your sights on this one thing and not be willing to deviate from that. You know, opportunities might come up along the road that are things that you maybe didn't expect. But if it's something that, yes, I can do that and I can do it well, maybe try it, because you never know, that might lead you on this other amazing path that you in no way anticipated. So it's good to stay open to what other opportunities might be, rather than being laser focused on this end goal. Just because there's no way that when I left 3 Custom Color that I could have pictured where I am now. No way at all. And
right.
It was very helpful to me to just stay open and allow things to occur and do my best when those opportunities came, but take those paths if they maybe made sense and were intriguing to me.
So you, I mean, you, Trey, you, you know, run your own company, right? The 3 Custom Color. And so you had this long track record of, or I mean, you had that entrepreneurial bug from the beginning, right? Where you just have to, it's all up to you to move the company forward. And you had that experience. And I think during this time, you know, especially if you're an entrepreneur, you're really in a great position to kind of reimagine yourself, look for opportunities. What kind of advice could you offer people that might not be so entrepreneurially inclined, right? Who have really, whose experience is mostly in a very structured, you know, maybe corporate environment, and now they're faced in a situation where they've been furloughed or, you know, unemployed, underemployed. They don't have that experience of being that entrepreneur, right? But they need to do something by themselves or start something.
Yeah, so, you know, I have to give credit to my two partners who I ran 3 Custom Color Specialists with. It definitely wasn't just me, it was all three of us. And so going off on my own at that point was actually quite challenging, because there were many things that I didn't do. You know, I wore a lot of hats, but then I thought, you know, do I have what it takes to do all this stuff myself? And then, you know, when I worked for RetailMeNot for several years, and they had a layoff, and then I was laid off, and then I was really by myself, I felt like. And again, like, I left a company in a structured role to then be an entrepreneur again. And entrepreneurship is in me. I'm always thinking of, you know, can I do this a different way? Is there an opportunity that I'm not seeing right now? So it takes some flexibility of thought, and it takes, I find, silence to sit and sort of evaluate what's happening around you and see if you can look at things in a different way. And I feel like if you've been working for other people for a long time and you're used to having things come to you, you're instructed to do something and then you act on that, it's difficult to then turn that around and create your own path. And so I find that sitting quietly and taking lots of notes and thinking creatively can be very helpful and freeing, but it's not easy if you're used to working for other people and being instructed all the time. But what I do think is that for many people, when you work for other people and you're constantly being told what to do, you probably have another voice in your head that's saying, well, I don't know if I would do it that way, and that seems time consuming, and why not do it this way? So when you're off on your own, you have to listen to that voice now. And so you don't have to rely on that, those other people telling you what to do anymore. You can follow that voice, and it's incredibly freeing to do that. And you'll probably surprise yourself and discover that you actually are an entrepreneur inside, you know, but you've just never had a chance to be that person.
Actually, that's really good. That's a great point, what you just mentioned. You know, when we work for other people and then we think, well, I would do it differently that way. And, you know, then you have this opportunity to actually do it differently, right, when you're on your own. And it's surprising how, you know, most people don't necessarily have that certainty or this is the one right way of doing it. And especially now where there's so much uncertainty, you'd be surprised, you know, to the audience, right? You'd be surprised how many people are actually just winging it with very imperfect, incomplete conviction, you know, this is how it can be done. And it just, the point, even when it becomes obvious, it might have been another approach, you know? So I think it's also this allowing for that voice of, you know, your own conviction to come through, that the way you imagine or the way you think something should be done might be perfectly, perfectly legitimate and really great, actually.
Yeah, I mean, it takes time to build that self-confidence and trust in yourself. But the other point that I think is important to make is that we're not skilled at everything. And, you know, like I said, I had partners, you have partners, right? You can't do everything that is well, right? So it's like you guys all have to work together. If you're starting out on your own, it can be it's a very heavy lift to say like, oh, now I have to name my business and I have to write copy for it and I have to build the website and I have to do my social media. And that can be so daunting. But so you have to be honest with yourself about the things that you're not good at. You may have to do them on your own for a while. And if there's something that you don't know how to do, you should ask for help, because there are a lot of us out here and people are willing to support you. There are things that you know that someone else may not. And so you can have a good information exchange, but ask for help. Don't try to do something hard by yourself. And when you get to a point where then you've kind of, you're building this business, and then you can kind of think, okay, what is the thing that I really hate doing? Let me find someone to help me. And there are lots of young people, especially who are fresh out of college or college students, who are very good at a lot of the things that we may not be good at, like web design, or, you know, I say that because I hate web design. I'm great at it, and it takes me forever. And so, you know, one of the first people I brought on to help me in my effort was a young person who was very good at web design and search engine optimization. And I have a wonderful person to help me do that now, you know? And so that's another thing that once you know, when we're maybe getting ahead of ourselves here, I'm getting ahead of myself, but once you get to a place where you're kind of, you're establishing yourself, like, be willing to hand off. Sometimes it's worth it to pay somebody to help do the things that you hate doing, so then you can be present in the things that you are really good at and bringing in that, bringing in the money for your business, and then handing some of it off to someone else, so you can free yourself back up again.
Yeah, I also wonder, you know, since we're talking about, you know, the financial challenges, which, you know, so many people are in the same boat, incredibly talented people that are looking for, you know, extra work, that, you know, if you are on your own, or starting on your own, and you need the expertise, now it's probably a fantastic time to look for support, you know, that for people that need the experience or need to keep going, so that they don't, you know, they don't sit, you know, in front of a like empty portfolio for the next 4 months, and where you can really find that expertise to help you in your you know, efforts to build something yourself.
Well, and you bring up a great point. Like, if you've got colleagues who are also unemployed or underemployed, perhaps there's a way to barter, right? Like, I have a friend who's a graphic designer. I'm a writer. Like, I can write her web copy and she can design my logo. You know, like, use your community to help you grow. And that's just such a cool experience to create your own thing with a friend who's helping you. And it's a great experience and much less isolating than trying to do it all yourself.
And right, right.
That brings me to like you mentioned that I'm a media coach, and I started another business back in September with a colleague of mine who is actually my competition. We are both on-air experts, and we talk about personal finance and shopping and saving money. And she's on the West Coast, and I'm on the East Coast. And you know, this is a crazy freelance life, right? And so we thought, how can we create something else that might give us a little bit of stability, you know, in case things get weird with what we're doing now? And so we created a business called One Take Media Coaching. And so we train people, and this is before the pandemic, we started training people over Zoom or Skype with their TV interviews or their speaking engagements and getting people comfortable, helping them pitch, helping them prep, helping them with whatever their pain points were. And so we partnered, and that was such a cool thing to do because we both work for ourselves all the time. You know, and we have, you know, now we're lucky enough to have people helping us a little bit, but it was so nice to partner with somebody sort of at our level and create another business and come up with a logo and design the website and all that kind of stuff. So it was a really interesting exercise. But my point is that we worked together and we created this other thing that, so now we have two businesses and, you know, we can kind of switch back and forth depending on what's going on. And we had no idea that a pandemic was coming. And so now what we do is we help people get comfortable on Zoom and Skype and all of these virtual meetings and seminars that we're attending and getting people comfortable doing that. And we had no idea that that was going to happen, but it has. And so just wanted to point that out as well, that you can partner with other people and maybe create something that you never imagined.
Yeah, I mean, that to me is true collaboration, right? Where you could have just gone on and just looked at each other like, ooh, that's my competition and she's taking business away from me, you know. Meanwhile, there's this totally new opportunity to create this business together, which I think is amazing. And probably that's like true synergy, right? You have A plus one, and it's not two, but it's three, because you build, you know, something bigger than you would have been able if you were just alone, two people doing it, you know, doing the same thing. So I think that's an amazing story. It's awesome that.
I was going to say that, you know, sort of in that vein is that, you know, I heard a term recently that I hadn't heard before called whisper network. And I was like, what is that? What does that mean? You know? And the whisper network is kind of like a group of like-minded people who do something similar to each other. They perhaps are competitors, but they share information quietly. You know, you talk about rates, you talk about scope of work, you talk about contracts, you talk about all sorts of stuff, because if you've never been an entrepreneur before, you have no idea what you should be looking for in a contract or how much charge or any of that. Like I was fortunate enough to come from, you know, I was a spokesperson at RetailMeNot, and we worked with contractors and freelancers. And so I had a sense of, I knew what those contracts looked like. I knew what the rates looked like. So I kind of came out of the gate at an advantage. Whereas other people in my field, you know, quite often they're like, how much do I charge for that? And what's really important is to establish a kind of standard level where we're all being compensated, you know, we're being paid what we're worth versus someone coming in and undercharging and then suddenly it tips the whole scale and, you know, businesses are like, oh, I only pay $2 for that. And I'm like, well, you should be paying $20 for that, you know? So it's really important to have that collaboration amongst competitors too, where you're sharing information, because that way everyone's on the same page and we're being valued and we know that we're being paid what we're worth versus like it being all over the place. Because businesses, no matter how sweet they are, they're going to want a better deal, right? And so it's really important to share, be open and share information with people who you might consider to be your competitors. Obviously, you want to be careful with that, and because you can be taken advantage of. But you know how to read the room and choose people who you trust. And then you can confer when something comes your way. And I'm like, how much do I charge for that? That's something different than I've never tried. You know, so it's good to have a little whisper network of your own in your own industry to help out, to help each other out.
Yeah, because it ultimately, it benefits the entire community, you know, even though you are all competitors in that community, but it benefits everyone in the end.
Yeah.
You know, that's a great, great piece of advice. Yeah. Talk to your competitors, right? Okay, I think we're, you know, I could speak, you know, for hours with you about this. This is always so fascinating, your story and, you know, entrepreneurship. But we did say, you know, we would talk about trying to save money and shopping smart. And I know that that is another expertise of yours. So Trey, what can you share with us there?
Yeah, so we touched on this a little bit at the beginning. I mean, I think that if you are underemployed or unemployed at the moment, really, I must urge you to focus on the essentials right now. The one kind of interesting byproduct of being on lockdown is that you're not spending as much as you usually do. You know, many of us enjoy services like manicures, haircuts, you know, it's the salons in some areas are starting to open up. But if you think about if you're a weekly manicure person or a monthly pedicure person, or if you get your hair colored, like think about all that money that you are not spending. So try to save that if you can, or maybe put a little aside so you can treat yourself every once in a while, because we do, of course, need to be kind to ourselves, especially now. So there are a couple things that I recommend in terms of shopping and how to save. So first of all is using technology to your advantage. I mean, I am no crazy coupon lady. I'm not going to sit at my table and clip coupons and with you know the accordion file and, you know, finding out my coupons and stacking them, and I just like literally can't be bothered. I think it's impressive that people do it, and people who are good at it save a lot of money, and but it's just not me. I'm more what's the easiest way that I can save? So I love coupon apps or coupon sites, or better yet, browser extensions. We talked about this a little bit before, Yoshiko, but
right
when we were chatting a couple weeks ago. So to me, browser extensions are like the coolest thing that ever happened to technology. And what is a browser extension if you don't know? A browser extension is a little piece of technology that will make your browser, like your Chrome, Safari, what have you, it makes it just a little bit smarter. And so there are a couple that I really like. There's one called the Coupon Cabin Sidekick. Or there's the Slick Deals browser extension, but there's Honey, there's Rakuten, there's Ebates. Well, not Ebates anymore, Ebates is Rakuten. So anyway, they're all free. And all you do is install it on your browser, you Google it. It takes 5 seconds to install it in your browser. And then as you shop, it will pop up and let you know, hey, there's a coupon here. Shall I try it for you? Or, hey, there's a cashback opportunity at the store that you're visiting right now. It's literally the easiest way to save. If you're not doing this, you must do it. It will be life-changing for you. You can either save, get a discount or $5 off, or you can earn cash back. Cash back is something that you accrue on this site, and then you can get a gift card in that amount, or they'll pay you out in PayPal. They're all very easy and self-explanatory, but I would strongly recommend to download at least one browser extension. I think Coupon Cabin is probably my favorite at the moment because
Coupon Cabin,
and then they have savings like discounts as well. It just makes saving easier. And so if you're going to do one thing to try to save money on your shopping, I would strongly recommend installing a browser extension if you are an online shopper. If you're not, then using a savings app while you're in store can be really helpful. Slickdeals.net has a really good one. So you can, while you're at Walmart, you can look on Slick Deals to see, is there a sale going on? You know, let me see how I can save a little bit more. So these are very easy ways to save that don't take a lot of effort and don't take clipping and watching expiration dates and all of that good stuff. So if you're going to do anything, do those things.
Do that. If that one thing, then it should be the browser extension, it's called?
Browser extension. Okay. Or if you're more of an in-store shopper, use a savings app.
Got it. Okay.
You know, it's worth it and you will save a lot. The other kind of secondary thing would be is timing. So, you know, if you have a really expensive thing to buy, wait until a 3-day weekend if you can to buy it, because 3-day weekends are packed with sales, especially on those larger items like mattresses, large appliances, furniture, things like that. You'll always do better over a 3-day weekend. So if you can wait, I would strongly suggest that you do. And then, you know, along those lines, Black Friday, Cyber Monday, you know, a lot of people say, oh, is it real? Can you really save? You absolutely can. And so, you know, that to me is like that combined with the 3-day weekends that happen periodically throughout the year are really your best times to save. And then also, things that are seasonal are always going to be better priced at the end of the season versus the beginning. Obviously, it's not when you need it the most. Like right now, when we really need patio furniture, you might find a sale here and there, but the prices on patio furniture are going to be much better at the end of the summer than they are at the beginning of the summer. That's just how it works, right? So same with clothing, anything else seasonal, like outdoor camping gear. If you think about what's the prime season for this item, buy it at the end of the season and you'll always save more. If you have the space, if you have a house, a basement, and you could store things away for the next season, you'll do really well in that way.
Yeah, it takes, I'm exactly that person. I don't plan. And so when I need something, I need it now. And then it's just like, just give it, you know, just let me. But I mean, how do you organize your own shopping to make sure you buy it not the moment that you need it, but yeah, do you plan? Do you have like a spreadsheet, you know?
Well, I do this for a living, so I know when things are going to be on sale. And I report on it every single month. I have on my website at truetrade.com, I have the best deals of the month, and I outline the different categories to help you think about like, okay, so here we are in summer, what's on sale? But then I also have links to lots of different sales every single month. I have a companion piece that's on msn.com every month where you can find those great links to those sales. And so if you sign up for my newsletter, which I only send out twice a month, I do not spam and I do not sell my list, you will find timely information about what's on sale, what my favorite sunscreens are, what my favorite bug sprays are. I'm testing products all the time and trying to help you save at the same time. So it's a good, easy way to have access to that information. And then follow me on social media is another way. I'm True Trey basically everywhere. I'm most active on Instagram. So every single day I'm offering basically all the stuff that we're talking about. I'm talking about this stuff every day on Instagram. So it's like, these are my, you know, three favorite new websites that I found and they're budget friendly and they're great for X, or like, here are the three things that I think that are easy ways to save during the pandemic. So all information like that, like I'm thinking about this stuff all the time. And this pertains to sort of how I shop as well, to answer your question. It's like, I'm always thinking about what are the best ways and how can I save more money, and what are the things that I should invest in that are a little, maybe a little more expensive that are going to last me a long time. And I think about that. So these are all things that I'm talking about all the time. So if you don't want to do the work, and I totally get it anyway, so you can follow along with me.
And we've actually posted Trey's website, truetrey.com. We just posted that in the chat box. And we're also going to share it at the end of this presentation, because I can only urge everyone to follow Trey. It's been life, I mean, it literally changes. It's so overwhelming sometimes to shop for deals, but you know, I feel like Trey's research really like focuses on, like cuts the BS and gets to like the really good deals and really quality that, you know, you wouldn't necessarily find in the clutter of information otherwise. So it's very inspiring to look at Trey's website. And so I urge everyone to follow you.
I mean, I have to be honest, like there, I follow, you know, couponers, and I find their websites and their content tend to be super noisy and overwhelming. Like I literally just want to find out how to save on furniture for my patio right now, because that's what I'm thinking about. And that's what I try to provide. And I would also urge, if anyone has something that they'd like to see me cover, I am always looking for ideas, and I'm accessible and open to that. So please let me know, and then I'll do it at some point. So I'm just trying to think about, like, what's everyone thinking about? What does everybody need right now? Not like I'm going to throw a bazillion coupons at you right now that you have to rifle through. Life is noisy enough as it is. I try to just keep it really streamlined.
Yeah.
We have a couple of questions from the audience, if you have.
Oh, awesome.
So I got a few lined up. Two was regarding to the browser extensions. I'll just ask them both at the same time. The first question was, I'm a little bit of concern wondering if browser extensions, you know, there's always a hitch. Do they capture your customer contact information somehow, and do they spam you? That's question one. And the other question two, on the other side, can you use a bunch of extensions in like comparison shop, or do you just pick one?
Okay, two great questions. So the answer to the first question is no. Yes, they, I'm sure, are gathering data on your shopping behaviors. And if that's not okay with you, I totally understand. But I've been testing multiple browser extensions all at the same time for years, and I do not get spammed. So saving sites give you the option to receive information from them if you want. You know, do you want the daily email? I know I don't, so I say no. You know, send me a weekly or a monthly email digest, but no spamming. So I will tell you that. So the second question is, yes, you can do multiple browser extensions and compare. I do that myself. I don't usually recommend it, just because as I shop, I'm getting these little like pop-ups, and it's kind of like noisy, you know, and not noisy noise-wise, but noisy visually. So, but there's nothing wrong with having, I'd say maybe two, and then you can say like, oh, you know, Coupon Cabin has this offer and Rakuten has this one, I'm going to choose the Coupon Cabin one. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. And, you know, some will have better cash back payouts with deeper discounts. And so, yeah, absolutely. Try a couple at the same time and pick your favorite as you go.
Cool. Thank you. And I've got one more question, which I really like and appreciate. And I share this because we're all in this together. What's your advice for avoiding unnecessary spending, but also wanting to support local restaurants and businesses? Eating out seems like a luxury, but I know restaurants are hurting.
That's a great question. So first of all, if you're struggling financially, you should be eating at home as much as possible. But to your point, restaurants need our help right now. So if you are choosing not to spend at restaurants at all, I cannot strongly suggest enough. Write good Yelp reviews for your favorite restaurants. So if you're not spending with them, that is the very best thing that you can do, because many of us discover something new through Yelp or through TripAdvisor or another review site. So do your favorite restaurants a solid and give them a great review. And also find out what they're doing right now. Some restaurants aren't open. Some are giving, or they're selling grocery boxes. If that's not something that you can help with right now, or you can purchase from them, you can always tell your friends, post it on social media, say, oh, did you hear about such and such restaurant? They're doing these awesome grocery boxes now. Check it out. It's awesome. See, that's another way that you can put the good word out there without laying the money out on your own.
Thanks. That is so, wow. I didn't actually think of that, but you're so.
I didn't think about that either. That's right. You can still do so much good for your community restaurants. Definitely.
Yeah, you can. And your shop, same thing.
Well, actually, you know, we're almost out of time, but there was a question I have also is that, you know, a lot of these, the browser extensions or the sales really focus on big brands, right? And, you know, independent brand and we're not a mess. I was wondering, any advice on where to find, you know, less mainstream brand, I guess, that you want to support, especially, you know, minority-owned businesses, for example?
Yeah, so that's a big question. I know we don't have a lot of time. So first of all, it's a little bit difficult to save money with small local businesses because they just don't have the margins to be offering 40% off today. You know, but just remember like what we were talking about before in terms of timing your purchases. At the end of every season, it's highly likely that your local shops are gonna be having sales. So that's a good way to kind of save on that merchandise and also support your local businesses. In terms of how to support Black-owned businesses, minority-owned businesses, I found really great lists on my favorite magazines. Like for instance, New York Magazine has a list of 100 Black-owned businesses divided up into categories. And I would bet that any magazine that you read on their website has a list of minority or women or Black-owned businesses. So that's another way to support them. And then I will tell you a fantastic resource that I just found on wisdomencourage.com. She has the most fantastic blog post about how to support minority and Black specifically influencers. Because statistically, minority influencers aren't compensated as well or equitably to white influencers. And so I would recommend wisdomencourage.com or Tash Haynes, T-A-S-H-H-A-Y-N-E-S. I think her Instagram is I am Tash Haynes. So she has so much great information about how you can support Black influencers and Black voices out there. So I would strongly recommend checking that out. I learned so much just by reading her blog post today. So that's just like a, you know, check her out because I just discovered her today through my friend Cindy Spiegel, who is another awesome person on Instagram. And she called out a bunch of Black influencers, including me, which was so kind. But then I discovered like this wormhole of other amazing people at the same time. So,
oh my God. Yeah, I have to check that out. Wisdomencourage.com and Tash Payne.
Tash Haynes, H-A-Y-N-E-S.
H-A-Y-N-E-S.
I think I had her Instagram up.
That's really great to know. Yeah, and it just, you know, take a little bit of time to look into these because I think it's really worth, you know, discovering ways to support minority owned and you know or local or smaller businesses, you know, that just don't default to the big coupon sites or the big shopping sites. So we are unfortunately, oh my God, it's 9 o'clock. I can't believe time's up. We actually have a special offer. Trey is generously offering a 20% savings on her media coaching fee. She had actually mentioned earlier that, you know, she is the co-founder of One Take Media Coaching, where she teaches people to get comfortable in front of the camera and prep like a professional and fine tune your messages, which is so relevant, whether you're talking about presentations, interviews, or pitches. And so she's giving a 20% savings on her coaching fee. You can check out, we have the link to her website, onetakemedia.biz over there. And you get a 20% off if you email Trey directly at trey@treybotch.com and just mention Jawara webinar. And you can check out her website and see. It's really like lots of different angles in how she can help you be your best in front of the camera or in that kind of setting.
Meetings to get comfortable. If you're struggling with that, we can talk about that as well. So we do have different courses, and one is sort of the pandemic course, which is affordable and, you know, very helpful. I can walk you around your house to find a good spot and help you with any discomfort that you have and how to gather your thoughts and all that good stuff. So I hope that you reach out because it's my joy to help people have less pain through these media experiences that we're all having so much of right now.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you so much for that, Trey. And we have our next webinar on Thursday, July 3rd. And the theme is collaborating to make the impossible possible. Wow, that sounds super inspiring. Yeah. And we have Cassandra Freeman, known as Cassie. She's, you know, wears lots of hats. You can see actor, writer, executive consultant, communications trainer, and founder of Creatix House. She has, first of all, an amazing life story, which is just, if you want to tune in just for her story, her life story, that is already worth it. But it's really about how to think about collaboration, tools for effective communication and community building, because we do have to rely on community these days to make the impossible possible. So very dynamic person, unstoppable force. So I hope you tune in. That's on Thursday, July 23rd. And that's actually next week at 8 p.m. If you want to present, if you have something to share, helpful information, uplifting information, we would love to hear from you. You can go on our website. When you click on the blog, our blog, and on the wellness webinars, and then within the first paragraph of that blog, we'll have a link where you can fill out a form with your information and what your theme or your topic is, and submit that, and we'll definitely get back to you, because this is all part of community building and learning and growing together. So we would love to hear from you. And yes, connect with us. Here is all the information, how to follow and get in touch with Trey, who's been tremendously inspiring and helpful tonight. On Facebook at True Trey, and Instagram as well. I follow both, of course. And her two websites, truetrey.com, with the savings, smart shopping information, and the onetakemedia.biz, media coaching, and her email address. Trey at treybotch.com. Trey, thank you so much for being with us and spending time with us and taking the time. And, you know, it was such a pleasure to have you. And after all these years of knowing you, I'm really, really so happy that you were, you know, that we did this together tonight.
Oh, same here. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Trey.
And thanks everyone for tuning in. We look forward to seeing you again at our next webinar. Bye.